Welcome to 51st Dates. I'm your host, Jolie Moore. I now know that hindsight is 20/20. This season, I'm going to share that wisdom with you. In every twice-weekly episode, I'm going to highlight one of my postcards from my Take Note, Stories of Narcissistic Abuse project and the unvarnished truth behind them. A lifetime of gaslighting and abuse are the reasons why my 51st Dates experiment was the unmitigated disaster that it was. I think it was kind of funny, a little bit tragic, but still a mess. Join me as I take on the task of finding out if my future self can forgive that person who lived through abuse and came out of the other side, still searching for a crazy, beautiful love story. Ready? Strap in. Let's go. Hi, and welcome to 51st Dates. This is your host, Jolie Moore. This is card number 9, The Faint. When my ex didn't like what I said, he'd punch the air or wall next to me. I learned a lot about spackle. So I'm going to give you a bigger story. In the Los Angeles County Court, when you get divorced or your marriage is dissolved, there is required ordered mediation with like a county employee mediator. One day I'll tell that story. Absolute shit show of a mediator. Can I even tell you? So anyway, all that said, before you go to mediation, you have to fill out a form. And the reason I really have been thinking about this a lot is because I just went through this process with a family friend, and you know, nothing ever changes. So she had to fill out this form, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen that in a minute. So you fill out this form where they ask you basically what I realize now are questions to evaluate whether or not there was domestic violence in your relationship. And you fill out the form, and if they deem, I guess, that it's an issue, or maybe I ask specifically, I don't think about that. I'm sure I ask specifically because I'm that person, that then you, when you're waiting for your time with this court mediator, you can be in a separate waiting room. So, okay, so, you know, the idea is that the mediator is somehow going to help you, like, resolve your dispute. I basically said to the mediator, clearly, this is not my kindest moment, you are not equipped to handle this dispute. I don't know what you're equipped to handle, but this ain't it. And honestly, I feel like they should have a special mediator for domestic violence. Well, anyway, all that said, that's different. So they have this form and you fill it out and they ask you all these things. And I just saw the form. So it's like, the forms are awful. Have you ever been hit? Have they ever said mean things to you? Have they forced you to have sex? All these things. And I was helping somebody else fill it out. And it was, I hate to say this, but like sort of like capital T triggering, because I was like, ooh, here we go again. So all that said, you're put in this separate room. In this room, okay, I don't know. It felt like I was like in New York, like in the 80s. The room was, so it's an old courthouse downtown, probably 100 years old. And they put you in this wood panel room, but this little separate side room is wood panel, but also filled with office supplies and like discarded office furniture and like broken chairs. And it's also like a billion degrees inside. Like they have the heat on, but it's like 75 degrees in LA outside. So you're sitting in this hot, sweaty room that's clearly like a fire hazard. If there were a fire, I'd burn up in that room in 14 seconds with all that paper. So in the room, they have these huge screens like mounted to the space between the ceiling and the wall. And it just, it flashes. I swear to God, maybe there's 5 to 10 screens of, if this has happened to you, this is domestic violence. So the first one was the dog from the previous essay and podcast. But this one was about like pretending to punch the wall around you. And it happened all the time. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this. Happened all the time. Didn't think much of it. Because I thought to myself, well, at least you're not hitting me. But I realized the threat is part of the abuse. I don't think I realized that back then. So, of course, I didn't realize it back then. I don't know why I'm saying that. But you're just sitting in this room and they're just flashing like these endless things. And to me, I can't believe it, they all felt fairly innocuous, benign, but I swear to God, every single one had happened to me. And I thought, oh, like that is not, can I just tell you, like sitting in some hot ass side waiting room fire hazard is not the time to have a revelation. Honestly, it was so shocking. I just really like had no place to put it. But there was like this constant, I guess I want to say, like after like the first time he like pushed me down or whatever, there was, or he would do things to me, like he would just do things to me, like shove me like slightly and he would call me clumsy, or I didn't know if he was gonna like do like a jump scare type thing or like pinch me or somehow like touch me when I didn't know it was coming. And he thought it was funny. I actually never thought it was funny, but I was told I didn't get the joke. But I hated it. But I never considered it bad behavior. I don't even know. I just considered it, this is annoying effing trait. And what I mostly did was try to stay like out of his orbit. Like, you know, you're married to somebody. Fortunately, I guess we had a big enough house. That like I could stay out of his orbit. So I figure it was like COVID. Like I'm gonna stay, you know, 6 feet away, and therefore like nothing ever can happen. I mean, we drove separately. Like I don't know how to explain it. Like I just kept my distance because that felt safer. What I realize is that your marriage isn't safe if you have to keep your distance to feel that. And it was just a pretty awful time. I think one day I'm going to write a message essay about this mediator, because I couldn't with her. I mean, basically, so we went into the mediation. I think we're in the room together. Maybe? I don't even remember. Like, it's so vague. And she showed us these, like, these horrible 50-50 parenting plans. It's like, your kid should, like, move every 2 days. And I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Like, I don't see how this is the best interest for any child. And unless some judge sits in a room and decides this for me at the end of the process, not doing it. It was lovely chatting with you. I'm walking the hell out now. And I said, oh, you know, I feel really uncomfortable leaving this room now because you've seen him. She saw him first. I don't know why, but whatever. You've seen him. You're going to have to tell him now that I'm clearly not going to agree to anything and he's going to be upset. So she leaves the room, I guess, spoke to him, comes back in, and she said, I think you're good. He doesn't look too angry. She literally said that. So of course he hadn't left and I had to walk out. And I can't even tell you, like, these courthouses, like the old ones, I have not been in many of the new ones. Like, it's a long ass corridor. Like, the building is probably a city block. And you're like walking down like the equivalent of a city block corridor, but it's like corridor. You can't escape. There's nothing about courtrooms and like bathrooms and conference rooms on either side until you get to either the stairs or the elevator. And it's one of these courthouse elevators. It's always full, goes really slow. Or you can take the stairs down many flights of stairs. And I had to walk. And he was talking to me about whether it was getting back together or reaching an agreement or who the hell knows what he was saying. And I had to ignore him all the way out. But it was like one of the most uncomfortable long walks I had ever taken. It felt like, I know this is over dramatizing it probably, but you ever see those movies where people are sort of walking to the electric chair? It felt like that, but maybe in reverse, because I was going to be able to leave the courthouse, get in my car and go home. But it felt like there was no escape. And I thought that the mediator was unusually glib and the least empathetic person, I swear to God, I encountered during that process. 0 out of 10, wouldn't recommend. But ironically, no, not ironically. So when I was doing this process recently, with a family friend, I was sitting next to her because they still do the same court order mediation, but hers was on Zoom. I don't know if they're all remote now, who I can't say, but hers was on Zoom and it was actually no different. The only difference is that she never had both people on the, you know, the little Zoom room at the same time. And so even though the person I was with was really nervous because he's a manipulative, like kind of violent guy, she didn't have to see him and ultimately was going to reach like a decision, because they offer you the same thing that I think is in the best interest of no child, unless maybe you're famous and you buy houses next to each other in Los Angeles and you have one of those lovely amicable divorces. But the process is no better. And I wish there were a way to better serve victims of violence in the legal family law space. I don't think that's ever going to happen. That's like pie in the sky stuff, and our country is not involved enough for that. But I do wish it were true, because the experience that I had during this, and the experience that this woman had a few weeks ago, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. I'm Julie Moore, and this has been 50 First Dates, the podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I hope you share, rate, and review it on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It will help others find the crazy, beautiful love stories that I like to share. Also, please hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. If you'd like to know how this project started, my memoir, 50 First Dates, is available wherever books are sold. A link is always included in the show notes. I'm also a romance writer. If you want to know more about my books, please visit joliemoore.com for more information. You can also follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Substack at xojoliemoore. The essays accompanying these postcards are available on Substack. You can also follow me on all social media at the same handle, XO Jolie Moore. Thanks for listening, and I'll be in your ears very soon.